It's Ann Liguori and Talking Golf on The Fan.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this beautiful Sunday morning, July 31st. Summer is breezing by. Hope you're getting in a lot of golf, playing great. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by IBCOL Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-filled cooling technology along with SPF 50-plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. How are we doing this morning? Hey, before we get started with this morning's star-studded lineup, I did want to tell you about my charity golf tournament because it is coming up. It's the 24th annual Ann Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic. We raise funds and awareness for cancer research. And it takes place Thursday, September 22nd at the Maidstone Club on the east end of Long Island. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous golf course. We have a couple foursomes left. The day starts with brunch. Then you play golf on this exclusive course along the Atlantic Ocean. Then you have cocktails, and then you have the awards dinner. Very, very special place. Very, very special cause. And I'm very excited to say that we are honoring all you Rush music fans. Remember Alex Lifeson, Hall of Fame guitarist. We are honoring Alex. He's a huge golfer, very passionate golfer. And he was on this show last year talking about his golf game. Alex will be playing. Our business honoree is Dan Pontecorvo of Jane Street Capital. So we have a great mix of men and women come out to play. And you can register by going to my website at annliguori.com. All you have to do is go into the philanthropy section on the website and you will see the registration form. So I hope you can join us. And this morning, I do have a treat for you. The Padraig Harrington, will join us. Three-time major winner and recently won the U.S. Senior Open. And he's played on six straight European Ryder Cup teams. And as you know, he captained last year's European Ryder Cup team. And he shares a lot of interesting opinions, including his thoughts on Henrik Stenson bolting for the LIV Golf Tour, ending his short European Ryder Cup captaincy. He talks about LIV Golf, what he thinks about it. He does say he shares something that he hasn't told anyone else, which we always like to hear. And I asked him why he would not continue as the captain of the European Ryder Cup team after their huge loss to the U.S. last year at Whistling Straits. And, you know, he's been playing great golf. And I asked him how he has been able to prolong his excellent play. He turned 50 last August. And, you know, at the end of June, he played in his first U.S. Senior Open, and he won it. He beat Steve Stricker, who charged up the leaderboard on that final day. He's played in 8 senior events, Harrington, so far this year, and he won the U.S. Senior Open. He came in second or tied for second in 4 other events, and he just missed at the Senior British Open. Darren Clark beat him by 1 shot. And, you know, it's funny because I was reading his history, and he came into pro golf late in life. He actually turned pro at 24. He was studying accounting at a university before turning pro. And he said as an amateur, he was just beating all the pros when he entered tournaments. So his first victory came quickly when he first turned pro in the late 90s. And then he had a run where he was coming in second a lot. So he learned quickly how to deal with overcoming adversity and how to bounce back, how to hang in there, how to be patient, and how to close out a championship. You know, he won those back-to-back Open championships. In 2007, he beat Sergio in the 4th playoff hole. And in 2008, he beat Greg Norman at Royal Birkdale, coming back from 2 down to wins. And he became the first European golfer since James Braid in 1906 to retain the Cleric Jug. And then, of course, he won the PGA Championship in 2008 at Oakland Hills. So I've always appreciated Padre Harrington's candor and his honesty, and I think you'll enjoy that interview, but we're going to start that at around 7:36 this morning. As you know, Henrik Stenson, he is playing in this weekend's LIV golf event at Trump National, Bedminster, New Jersey. And after first round 64 and yesterday's 69, Stenson at 9-under leads Dustin Johnson by 3 shots. Patrick Reed, Carlos Ortiz, Taylor Gooch, they're tied for third at 5-under. Reed shot a 7-under 64 on Friday in round 1, 6 birdies in a 7-hole stretch. And Taylor Gooch, he shot a 64 yesterday. They only play 3 rounds. Stenson said when he decided to join LIV Golf that he made specific arrangements with LIV Golf to make sure he could fulfill the obligations of his Ryder Cup captaincy. But then the European Ryder Cup authority said, absolutely not. You are not doing both. So it looked like, to me, Stenson was just waiting to see if LIV Golf would pick up some steam before jumping ship. And it's not good to go back on a contract, and that's what he did, in my opinion. So you'll hear Padre Harrington talk about it, you'll hear his opinion about all of that. Of course, there are reports that Luke Donald will be named Ryder Cup captain for Europe, becoming the first Englishman since Nick Faldo in 2008 to captain the European team. And at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, Donald said that he won't be doing a Henrik. And if he's chosen as Ryder Cup captain, he said that he'd live up to his word and see it through. All right, LIV Golf, Phil Mickelson continues to play poorly. He shot a 75 in round 1, a plus 273 yesterday. He is plus 6 overall. He tied for 40th. And apparently, as he was teeing off on the first hole on Friday, a spectator yelled, "Do it for the Saudi royal family." I know former President Donald Trump, he played in a pro-am there with Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson. And interesting playing with Donald Trump. I played with Donald Trump years ago when he was opening his golf course in West Palm Beach. I was writing a story on the golf course for USA Today Sports at the time. And he doesn't like anyone in front of him. So he cleared out the course. He made sure nobody was playing in front of him before we teed off. I mean, he can hit the ball. You know, he's played golf for a long time. But I remember he was just getting into the golf business back when I interviewed him for this article I was doing. I definitely do not agree with his take on LIV Golf. He's promoting it. It's almost like a vendetta against the PGA Tour and the PGA of America for them taking tournaments away from him. And there's just a ton of hypocrisy based on personal greed, in my opinion. He was critical of Saudi Arabia when he was a presidential candidate, even accusing the Saudis of taking part in 9/11. But then later, he changed his tune. And when Prince Mohammed denied authorizing the killing of the Washington Post writer, Trump accepted that denial. And then I read where the Saudi wealth fund invested $2 billion in Jared Kushner's firm, Trump's son-in-law. So, you know, it's just a dirty shame that money rules the world. And this Saudi-funded golf league is a prime example of it. People will say and do anything for money. It's sick. And then we hear Bubba Watson has joined LIV Golf. He has not played since May because he has a torn meniscus. And he was quoted as saying that, you know, the Saudi government is trying to change. They've invested in women's golf. They're supporting men's golf. They're trying to grow the game. He said, Bubba said, they're trying to change industry over there. Bring golf, bring tourism to Saudi Arabia. Keep drinking the Kool-Aid, Bubba. All right, let's go to the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. The PGA Tour event. Final round this afternoon, Tony Finau and Taylor Pendrith, they're tied for the lead at 21-under. Unbelievable, Finau playing. He won last week, the 3M Open. He shot a 7-under 65 yesterday, a 64 Thursday, 66 on Friday. In 3 rounds, he's drained 21 birdies. He's hit 85% of fairways, 50 of 54 greens in regulation, and he has yet to have a bogey. So if he can pull out the second straight win, he would become the first player to do back-to-back weeks to win back-to-back since Patrick Cantlay in 2021. And Cameron Young, my God, he continues to shine. He posted the low round of the day Friday, a 63, and he is in solo third place. What a rookie year he's having. At the Women's Scottish Open at Dundonald Links in southwest Scotland, Celine Boutier and Lydia Ko, they are tied for the lead at 15 under. Boutier started yesterday four shots behind Ko. She fired a 5-under-67. Five birdies on the front nine for Boutier. And Lydia Ko shot a 1-under-71 yesterday. Three bogeys, four birdies. Not as good as her first two rounds when she carded 65s. 12 players are within four shots of the lead. All right, we are going to actually go to Scotland in a few minutes. That's right. The general manager of Dundonald Links, where the Women's Scottish Open is, Ian Ferguson, will join us to give us a little scene setter for the final round of the Trust Golf Women's Scottish Open. But first, let me tell you that Ibucool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. Ibucool offers multifunctional intelligence, the exclusive moisture sensor fabric featuring the ice fill technology that cools your body so you can play comfortable and odor-free on hot and humid days. Ibucool apparel also features UPS 50 plus sun protection, colorful, stylish, ultra soft fabric with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. IBKUL.com.
Hey, what's up? It's the boys from Bit Season, and today's show is sponsored by SeatGeek.
And if you don't know what SeatGeek is, they're a ticketing app that makes buying tickets super simple. We've all got the app on our phones. Use code BITSEASON for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek.
8 out of 10 individuals who visit RMA New Jersey Fertility Center make their vision of parenthood a reality. For more than 20 years, RMA New Jersey's expert fertility specialists and an 83% birth success rate have helped bring home more than 50,000 healthy babies to loving families. RMA New Jersey Fertility Center, building families one healthy baby at a time. Visit rmanetwork.com to learn more. That's rmanetwork.com.
Yo, New York, it's Nick Cannon. It's about that time. It's summertime out here, and it's time to get your snack on at Wendy's. I'm doing it. You should do it, too. Grab them natural cut sea salted fries, hot and crispy guaranteed, plus the classic chicken nuggets with that real 100% white meat, breaded to a crisp perfection. And don't forget about the new strawberry frosty for the summertime turn up. It's a new spin on that classic rich and creamy treat, and it's amazing. Satisfy your snack cravings today at Wendy's. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Available at participating Wendy's.
When it comes to technology that makes your life easier, we're thinking of every mile. Like using the new Hyundai Palisade's available digital key on your compatible smartphone for when the hotel valet misplaces your key fob during a romantic mom and dad getaway at mile 13,459. It's your journey. Test drive the new Hyundai Palisade at your nearest Hyundai dealer or learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
At Generation Next Fertility, we put our patients first.
Almost all patients that come to see us will be parents.
Our fertility center is not really about protocols, it's about people.
We knew we were in good hands.
It was very sensitively handled.
We will help them find that path.
It worked for us, it can work for you too.
Learn more about our innovative fertility care at GenerationNextFertility.com.
It's Sunday morning, and you're talking golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back. How we doing this morning? So glad you can join us. Talking golf with Ann Liguori, and now we go to southwest Scotland at Dundonald Links, host of the Women's Scottish Open, where the final round is in progress, and Ian Ferguson is the general manager of Dundonald. He joins us now. Hey, Ian. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Hi, Anne. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You sound like you're right next door.
I know. Could have thought it, yeah.
So what's the weather like there? I know you hardly have had any wind all week, it seems like. The women are scoring low, and it's going to be an exciting finish. 12 players are going to start within four shots of the lead.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's really been sort of teed up for a really exciting finish today. That's for sure. Some really big names at the top of the leaderboard. And as you say, they're really bunched up together. Already we've had another player just who's teed off, who's really made it four players within two shots of the lead. So yeah, it's really hotting up to be a great day today. So, and as you say, the first 2 days we had really fantastic weather here. The sun was out and everybody enjoyed the benign conditions, the spectators and the players. And you know, we'd 64 shot on the first day, but certainly on the second day was the same in terms of weather. So so the competitors certainly had the weather as an advantage. And to be honest, it hasn't really changed too much since then. The sun has gone out again, but that's pretty standard. So it's a bit cooler, but it's not too bad. It's not too bad at all. The wind has kept down, so playing conditions are pretty good. And that, you know, with the sun hiding its face, it's now allowed. You know, it's now allowed people to, I suppose, hit the greens and get a bit of the greens are just a little bit more moisture in them. So it is teed up for a very exciting finish today.
Yeah, and I know Kyle Phillips designed the course, and seems like the women are enjoying it, right?
Yeah, we've had tremendous feedback, and the women have been here for 3 years, so it's not an unfamiliar course to them. So we had them here back in 15, 16, and 17, but since then we've made a lot of progress in terms of what we offer here in terms of clubhouse and accommodation on site. But in terms of the course, it hasn't changed a huge amount in terms of its routing. We changed some of the teeing complexes, made them bigger, made them more interesting, and to give us just more options from the teeing ground. But yeah, we're getting really good feedback from the competitors over the last few days. So they're loving being here.
Well, I know Darwin Escapes. I was there a couple weeks ago. I had a great time with you and your team. And Darwin Escapes purchased Undano Links in 2019. They did a $25 million expansion. So I'm thinking, you know, there are cottages there, luxury cottages. There's a beautiful clubhouse. There's great restaurant. I'm thinking the women are just loving it because they can just stay right there, not have to worry about commuting, and enjoy the whole atmosphere and focus on the golf.
Well, that's exactly it. Lydia Ko mentioned that in her press conference in the first day. She said it's great just to roll out of bed and know you don't have to get into a courtesy car and, fight unpredictable traffic and maybe have a stressful journey in trying to make your tea time or the practice time. So yeah, it does suit really well. And the way it's been set up is actually for this type of event and also for non-competitive golf, so people coming here just to play golf and have a golf holiday. It's just the way it's been set up. So we're really pleased that that's been picked up by the competitors, and they're loving just being on site. They're familiar with the course, as you said, but now we've added £25 million worth of development to it. It's just taken on a completely different level. And they're loving the lodge accommodation, and they're loving how close it is to the new clubhouse and the restaurant we have there. And you know, a lot of them have been using the gym and the sauna, steam room, and just enjoying the whole experience that we've created over the last couple of years.
Well, it sounds like Lydia Ko is enjoying it. I mean, she shot her first two rounds. She carded 65. She holds the lead at 15 under with Celine Boutier. But, you know, anything can happen this afternoon. And as I'm looking at the leaderboard, a lot of the Sagstrom is 5 under through 10 holes. You have Meadow 5 under through 13. I mean, the women are scoring on the golf course. And I when I played it, I thought it was really challenging. So it's just amazing to see the depth of, and most of the top women are playing there, right? And they're getting ready for the women's Open Championship next week. So it's just incredible to see the depth in the women's game, don't you think?
Yeah, it's tremendous. We've got eight of the top 10 women in the world playing here, and it just is testimony to how they see this as a great preparation for, as you say, the Open over at Muirfield next week. And it seems to have done that. And Lydia Ko said it was a real true test of links golf. And that's what you need, really, a bit of competitive golf on a links course. maybe generally players don't get much experience on, but generally through the season. But this year certainly here is definitely a great preparation for next week. So yeah, we're looking forward to a great finish, as you said. Start. It really is. A lot of these players are so talented, and watching them out there just hit the ball beautifully, and their accuracy just hitting those greens is really unbelievable. I watched Georgia Hall hitting the 10th on the TV yesterday, and followed her ball into the green, and she hit it within probably 3 feet, but the other two balls were equally as close. So that talent is, that's pretty tough competition there. So it's great to watch. It's great golf, and we just love having the women here.
And Dundonald is in a part of Scotland, southwest Scotland, that in the past offered little in terms of accommodation. So you have so many great golf courses there, and now you can basically stay at Dundonald and you can play Royal Troon, you can play Prestwick, you can play Western Gales, right? There's 40 some courses just in that area. So it's a great home base to go out and play all these other beautiful links courses.
It is. It's the ideal base, Anne, and you've seen it, and it's just within, it's within a sort of 10-minute drive of Troon, Royal Troon, Prestwick, Western Gales is 2 minutes away, and some other really tremendous links courses within a sort of 5 to 7 mile stretch of this coast in Ayrshire. So it really is a tremendous little nest of courses that you base yourself here, and just as Lydia Coe said, roll out of bed, and you're on a golf course within 10 minutes. So it's perfect location. It really is the perfect location for a links experience. And we do get awesome weather. And people like to come here to experience links conditions and Scottish weather. But over the last few days, we've just had this beautiful, sort of these beautiful benign conditions as well. So it's a great experience. Links golf is just such a pure form of golf, and it's a great test. And we're so lucky to have our accommodation and clubhouse here to facilitate people who want to base themselves in Ayrshire, have really easy access to all of these other top high-end trophy courses.
And what happened to that wee bit of wind we always hear you Scots talking about?
Well, I know. Come yet.
Well, good for the women playing golf. I mean, it's going to be a great finish today. Ian Ferguson, General Manager, Dundonald, thank you so much for joining me, and enjoy the final round.
Thanks so much, Anne. It's been a real pleasure, and it's great to chat to you.
Take care, Ian Ferguson.
All righty,
we love your accent, by the way.
Thank you.
The authentic Scottish accent. We just love it. Okay, when we come back, you'll hear my exclusive in-depth conversation with Padraig Harrington, 3-time major winner of the U.S. Senior Open a few weeks ago, very outspoken about LIV golf. He has lots of opinions, and we'll share those in a few minutes. As the brand ambassador for Ivy Cole, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture sensor fabric keep me cool on the links, Ivy Cole garments also feature UPF 50+ sun protection. All that, plus a wide variety of colorful and stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skorts, and dresses. And men can choose from any styles as well. Look your best, protect your skin. Ivy Cole. Learn more at ibkul.com.
It's Sunday morning, and you're talking golf with Anne Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori. And my guest is Padraig Harrington, winner of 3 major titles, recently won the U.S. Senior Open Championship. And boy, Padraig, with your recent U.S. Senior Open win and many runner-up finishes, including one at the Senior Open Championship in Scotland, I would say you're playing excellent golf of late.
Yeah, no, but golf's been pretty good. It's nice on the Champions Tour to be in contention rather than, on the regular tour. I'm on that cut line a little too often. I feel under pressure on the regular tour to have my very best game, whereas on the Champions Tour, I kind of have a good feeling that I'm going to be in contention. And often when you feel like that, you relax a little bit and you play better.
Yeah, well, you're really playing well. And by the way, I've always enjoyed the lessons that you've been giving just on video via Twitter. I just think you're a very good golf instructor as well.
Yeah, I like coaching. I'm a little bit of a contrarian, so I like telling people things that they were doing wrong or didn't know. So while I did put them all out on Twitter and Instagram during the COVID years, hopefully I can say the COVID years is a past thing. I know it's still around, but they're all on YouTube now. So I put longer versions out on YouTube every 2 weeks.
Well, that's good to know, because I really learn a lot from your instruction pieces. But anyway, I know you were a member of six straight Ryder Cup teams between 1999 and 2010. You captained the 2021 European Ryder Cup team at Whistling Straits last year. I've covered every Ryder Cup since, gosh, Brookline. And obviously, Team Europe is experiencing quite a bit of turmoil of late with Henrik Stenson exiting to LIV Golf. Just want to get your overall thoughts about that, Padraig.
Yeah, you know, it's disappointing that Henrik didn't wait around his 15 months to captain the team. You know, when he was selected, he had to agree certain terms, and you know, he may believe that he could do both jobs, but nobody in the real world thinks he could be at LIV and be the Ryder Cup captain. I don't know why he's trying to posture that position out there. You know, it's pretty clear if you want to go play LIV, great, no problem. Do that. You know, the money is great. It looks like it's going to be there, here to stay. Fine. But, you know, don't try and make us all out to be fools. If you're there, you can't be here. That's just the way it is. You can't be the Ryder Cup captain and be on the LIV Tour at this moment. That's not saying that won't be the same in 10 years time. We don't know where it's going to be. But right now, at this moment, you know, there is quite a separation, and there was contracts in place. And nobody is fooled by, well, I thought I could do both. There's nobody who's thinking that.
So basically what he did was hold out for more money from LIV Golf, I think.
No, I don't think so. I don't have a problem with him going. And Henrik was one of the closest people. He lived in the Middle East. He was very close to this LIV Golf and the Saudi Golf all along. He would have played there for many years. So, and would personally know the Saudi Arabian side of this. So, you know, he would have been the closest to them, I think. And so he was first choice to go to LIV, but he made a choice when the LIV Tour was in doubt. He took the choice of going with the Ryder Cup. And now that the LIV Tour is not in doubt, he switched sides. You know, I don't have any, he would have been the first name on the list. I have no problem. I don't think he would have got a better contract being the Ryder Cup captain. I think he had a very, very, very good contract in place, which would have been negotiated 2-3 years ago when he was not far off winning the Open at the top of the game. So I do not think he used that as a negotiating tool. I do believe, though, that he was having his cake and trying to eat it, as in he took the Ryder Cup position because LIV, what looked like that, you know, 9 months ago, LIV didn't look like it was going to happen. Certainly there was a risk. 9 months down the line, anybody joining now the LIV Tour, you know, and I kind of hear them saying it now, there is very little risk for those players joining. Whereas the guys who jumped first, there was a lot of risk. You know, was it going to fully go ahead? Would it keep going? Would they get banned? Would they be able to play majors? I know some of those are up in the air. But as we go further and further, nobody in Europe got banned this year. Nobody in Europe couldn't play the majors. So there's less risk to any of those players who have decided to join another tour. And it looks like, you know, the LIV Tour is going to be normal in pretty soon. It's 15 events of the year, and it looks like it's going to be part of the schedule. As long as they're committed, it's going to be here to stay.
I know you have said you had no problem with players jumping to LIV Golf for the money, but what are your thoughts about where the money is coming from? Do you have an issue with that?
Yeah, you know, where the money coming from was the first, you know, PGL were the ones who started this off, and they had LIV Golf, they had the Saudi Arabia Investment Fund as a backer, and it was, their idea was swatted away by the money. They says, oh, look, your money's coming from Saudi Arabia. That's not good money. And if anything, that emboldened Saudi Arabia to say, hey, you don't want our money, we're going to do this ourselves. Now we're down this road a year and a half, and the first year was, oh, it's the money, it's the money. Well, I have to tell you, everybody has different moral standards, you know, and that's the truth of it. Like, I guarantee you, there's players going to the Live tournament from countries that they're being applauded going. There's no second guessing in their country. So, you know, the standards we all set ourselves and live by in different states, everybody has a personal standard they have to work on. And we're fools if we start thinking we can apply our standards to other people, because we're all different. And, you know, so trying to knock them back by saying, oh, your money isn't good, when, they're, as Rory said the other day, their money is everywhere. It's in every bit of sport out there. You know, it's all around the place. So it was the... I'm basically saying the tour need to tackle this, and which they are doing. The two tours have now turned a totally different tact. You don't hear them talking about the money anymore. They're talking about legacy of the tournaments, and they've gone down a different road, because you do have to understand everybody thinks different, you know, and has a different way of working on these things. And, you know, it is easy if you want, if you want to go, you can find lots of logical reasons to go, in the sense of their money is everywhere, their investments are everywhere. And again, it's a bit harsh on Liv to say that the investment fund is they're doing this because of PGL sold them an idea that this could be profitable. Everything the investment fund puts into, like, if it was only interested in the sports washing side of it, all 15 events would be in Saudi Arabia. Come to Saudi Arabia, what a beautiful country, that sort of thing, as we see all around. But the fact is, the events are all around the world, which, when that event this week in Bedminster is run, they're not really thinking about Saudi Arabia this week. They're thinking about the LIV tournament. So it's more that they are trying to, they've certainly been sold the idea that this is a profit-making opportunity by PGL, the original guys who did this. And remember, there was a number of investment funds that were backing this. They thought they could make a profit out of running a team event for 15 weeks. I know the PGA Tour had a look at it and said there's no way their figures stack up. But as I said, some of these investment funds who have been involved, not talking the Saudi Arabian investment fund, was it Rain Capital and them, they've been successful in other business ventures in sports. So they thought there was a way of making money out of this. So it's up in the air, and there's a lot of, my only problem, I'm sitting in the middle, I'm not, you know, okay, I am a PGA Tour player, but I'm not inside that 125, so I get nothing of any of the increase in golf, it doesn't come to me, I'm outside that, and I'm not on Live, so I'm kind of sitting in the middle, and I see both sides only telling their own story, where they need to, everybody needs to know all the facts, make their own judgments on that. And you know, go from there. Because, like, I know I don't want to talk necessarily all about Live, but if we were talking legacy golf tournaments, where's the Australian Open, the South African Open, the Japanese Open, and probably the BMW PGA Championship? They are the legacy tournaments of golf, and they are getting hammered with the reduction in world ranking points. Nobody from outside Australia is going to want to play the Australian Open. Nobody from outside South Africa is going to want to play South African Open. Nobody's traveling to play the Japanese Open. These are the legacy tournaments in golf. So, you know, if we want a legacy, and the BMW PGA reducing the world ranking points for these events, because they used to get a capped world ranking points no matter what, you know, that's not helping legacy around the world. So, you know, everybody's throwing things out there, and they're only telling half truths all the time.
Interesting. You bring up a lot of great, great points. I guess let me just, you know, get direct with you, and then we'll move on. If Live Golf approached you, would you go?
I have been approached, so I'm not there. I got the general stuff. I no specific stuff. And to be honest, I didn't negotiate because I didn't want to be tempted. Because, unfortunately, you know, you and we've seen this with players. You put figures on the table, and all of a sudden, you know, whatever way you were, I didn't want to know my price either. I tell you, actually, one of the worst parts of it, and I'm going to be honest here, and I'm telling you, and I've told nobody else. A player came up to me who was there and said, "You can be. Why don't you join my team?" And I looked at him and says, I just about let you play on my team. I ain't playing for your team. As in, I have my own head. I know where I stand in world golf. I can't go in and play under somebody else. And he wasn't an Irish player who said it to me. So it wasn't GMAC or anything like that. But and he wasn't offering, it wasn't a formal offer or anything like that. It was a joking offer. But as I looked at him and says, no, I'm the captain, not the, you know, and that's an issue. That's why I couldn't go. I'm not saying that's another point. I can't go. In my head, I'm the leader. I'm the guy who won the majors. I'm the best player. And look, it doesn't matter if I'm not the best player. I believe I am. And that's, you know, I have to keep telling myself. So in some ways, I'm not signing up. I don't want to sign up to be number four in a team. You know, that's just the way it is. There's many reasons why you can be in or out of the LIV tournament. There was a lot of criticism, say, of Brooks at the US Open, point blankly saying on the Thursday that he wasn't thinking about it. And then when he went on the Monday after the US Open, people were saying, well, that was Duplessis or well, actually, it wasn't Duplessis because I don't think it was the Rory one. Or maybe it was. Anyway, there was a lot of criticism. And he came out and says, well, they made an offer on the Monday that changed my mind. And let's face it, there's a lot of players that, you know, they have the power and the ability when it comes to actually moving the needle with players, that there could be a player could be sitting there, you know, fully committed to not going. And then all of a sudden, you know, what if they turned around to every major winner and turned around and says, well, whatever you were worth before the major, now we're going to put $100 million on top of that for you winning that major. If you join, that's, you know, that has to turn heads. And as I said, when you see that there's already 47 guys who've gone there and it's getting normal, being the 48th guy, is that such a big deal? You know, and again, going back to that moral side with the money, you know, that money is just about everywhere in all parts of sports. I know my country does a lot of business with Saudi Arabia. So, you know, there's tax dollars and everything coming from that. So what, you know, it can be justified if it's a big enough offer.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about how one justifies it. Personally, you know, yes, the United States buys oil from Saudi Arabia, but I don't feel like we as individuals have that much input with that. But as a player, you each have, you know, your own input into, yes, I'm going to take this money, or no, I'm not going to take this money. And nine times out of 10, the guys are going to take the money.
But everybody has individual responsibility. You know, that's just it. You don't have to buy the oil. You don't have to put it in your car if you don't want to. You groupthink is a horrible thing. We've got, you know, and that's, you know, individually we got to get out there and meet people from different points of view, different lives, and you know, we get, you'd be amazed how nice people are who really do think different than you.
Absolutely. No, the whole world thinks differently on so many different issues, and unfortunately, it really has become a political issue, which is a whole other story. Well, let's move on. And I understand, Padraig, you've joined the many athletes who actually take I Promise Visual Edge Pro supplements. I'm interested in learning how that has helped your vision on the golf course and other things you're doing to maintain your level of fitness and competitive nature.
Well, there's two parts to this. I actually sought out I Promise. They didn't come to me. Essentially, I've had four laser surgeries, so I'm always very keen in my eyesight. But, you know, the side effect of laser surgeries, your eyes get a little drier. I can't say my side effects are that bad, but they get a little drier. So as I got older, the two things I'm worried about my eye health, and I'm worried about the function of my eyes during tournament play. How well I read the greens, I'm a little bit obsessive about that. I think most golfers would be. And how well I see is another part to it. So, you know, everything I can do, taking the right, I'd be pretty healthy in my diet, but I just wanted to make sure I was getting the right vitamins, the right nutrients for my eyes. And this just summed it up perfect. It's a little packet you take every day that is covered. And to be honest, that packet, and I take two cholesterol tablets, not statins now, they're plant-based stenols, their tablet. They're the only things I take. So I'm pretty good that I'm not a great person for wanting to take all these tablets and different things, but looking after my eyes, and it's very simple. It's a little package, take it every day. That covers that. You've got enough of each. I can't even pronounce some of the words, enough of the different nutrients for your eyes. That's it. You're comfortable. You're more confident, to be honest.
Right.
You know, I think I see better. But like, and to be honest, they tested it and I do see better, you know, but let's say in the real world, it's given me confidence to believe I think better because I've seen the results of the tests and yes, my eyes are functioning better. They're working better. But anecdotally, I'd say, yeah, I think I see better on the golf course. I think I read the greens better. I think I've less dry eyes and things like that. You know, I'm not even sure if these could be placebo effects of it, but I'm confident in that end of it. It's nice that it is backed up by the actual results that they've shown me that we've done the testing, that the eyes are functioning better with them.
What is the key to your success now in this part of your golf competitive life? Because I feel like you're playing, you look as strong as ever, mentally you're sharp. What do you think is the key to, you know, prolonging a very successful pro golf career?
Okay. People, yeah, just because we're on this frame of talking earlier in the show, believe it or not, it's the money that came into the sport. So I've had a physio full time for 20 something years, full time with me at tournaments, my own physio working every day. I've had a trainer all that time. I have access to the best people. We have access to health screening. Even that's what I do individually, but the tours have the health screening, they have the physios. Because of the bigger money in the game, we've been able to afford better travel, better treatment, better people around us, which extends the life of the game. When I started the game, pros didn't make it to 35 years of age. You know, I turned pro at 24, and I thought by my early 30s, I'd be taking a country club job. That was my goal. But because of the money, and you know, obviously Tiger set it off going, that influx of money meant we could all afford, you know, at the height of my career, I had probably shouldn't say this environmentally, but I had a plane. I don't have it now, you know, and things like that mean you can less stress in the body. You can travel more. You can do more things. So it's a lot of that has helped. Plus, I would have burnt out in the game in 2015. You know, I found it very hard. I was playing, but it was just hard work. And then I looked at it and said, look, I tried a bit of commentating. I like that. I tried a bit of coaching. I like that. But then I sat down at a period of time. I don't know if I did it overnight, but realized that I actually loved playing golf. So why was I not enjoying being out on tour? And I looked up at it and I was, you know, essentially trying too hard. Now I make a much bigger effort to enjoy myself. You know, 20 years ago, if one of the lads said to me, we're going for dinner at 8 o'clock, I might go, it doesn't suit me. I want to be in, you know, got to go to the gym or I've got to do this or I've got to do that. Now I go to dinner at 8 o'clock. I'll change my plans in order to have a better social interaction at an event and enjoy myself more around the event than I would have 20 years ago. It's more about enjoying that. I practice a lot, but I practice less than I used to. So that's, so you know, that helps. I'm just trying to be out there and have fun.
So you're having fun. That's the key. And it takes less pressure and expectation off of you, I'm sure.
If your listeners, I often say this, I'm talking in a corporate setting. There's loads of business people out there who have hit that wall, who have burnt out, and they're thinking of retiring. And they're thinking of retiring and trying something else. And they'll never be as good at something else because it takes years. They're better off looking at what they're doing and finding out what they like about what they do and getting rid of the stuff they don't like doing. So, you know, if there's parts of the job that they hate, well, get somebody else to do the job. If they've got that fire in life that they can make those choices. Retirement is a terrible thing. You get older when you retire. So just keep working, but only work on the stuff you like doing.
Follow your passion is huge. That's great advice, Padraig. So you don't want to be Ryder Cup captain again?
It's it's a one and done sort of situation, isn't it? It's an incredible honour to become Ryder Cup captain. I had my run at it. You know, it's really disappointing that I lost. And you know, unfortunately, that's always going to be there. Thankfully, I know from the feedback from my players, and this wouldn't necessarily be the feedback from outside world, you know, it's half and half. People will come up and tell you did a great job, and then somebody else says, oh, it was a terrible. They have no idea what went, you know, what really goes on. So the feedback from my team was very good, and you know, that's all I can. I take a lot of comfort in that side of things, that my team were happy with the job I did for them, very happy with the job I did for them. Everybody in my team, and you know, I can only take comfort from that. Obviously, I can't take comfort from the score. And I laugh. Some, you know, I've never read anything written about me since I'm 15. It's now 18 years of age. I don't listen back to anything. I let it, when I say it, I let it out there. I don't want to hear the comments back, because in the end of the day, it's right to comment. Everybody does it. If I'm watching a football match, I'm giving out about somebody or talking, but I don't really know what's going on, do I? I don't have the full facts, but it's life. It's normal life to do that. But the best thing for me is obviously not engage with, you know, I can't argue my case with somebody who doesn't know the facts.
So who would you like to see as the new captain for the 2023 Ryder Cup?
I am part of the selection committee, so it would be wrong of me to get involved in that side of the conversation at this stage.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. I could talk to you all morning, but continued success. And I've always been a big fan. Padre Carrington, thanks so much for coming on Talking Golf.
Thanks, Ann.
All right. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, it looks like Luke Donald, former number one player in the world, will become the European Ryder Cup captain. They're supposed to make the official announcement sometime early this week. My thanks to Padre Carrington. Hope you enjoyed that interview. My thanks to Ian Ferguson at Dundonald, to Pat Boyle in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Ibucool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive IceFill cooling technology along with SPF 50+ sun protection. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Listen, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Rocket Mortgage Open. Tony Finau and Taylor Pendrith tied for the lead at 21 under. One shot ahead of Cameron Young. That should be a great finish. And remember, my charity golf tournament's coming up September 22nd. Visit AnnLiguori.com to learn more. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge. And I look forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.